Well, happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our church service on the beginning of the Sabbath here in North America. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and it's a pleasure to be back with you all once again. And I pray that God has blessed you and answered your prayers in this first week of the new year. And I pray that his blessings will attend you more in this new year than last. So we're a year closer to the coming of our Lord. And even so, come Lord Jesus. Well, our opening song for today's service is entitled, Dare to Be a Daniel. And for those that know this hymn, it's been around for quite a while. But for those that don't know it, I'm pulling it up here in the room for you. And you can find this on our website in the home church section under music and then under hymns. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Many giants great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Hold the temperance banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his hosts defy and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Amen, dear ones. And even though Daniel knew that his praying to God three times a day would bring him into trouble, it was against the law, yet he chose to stand for God, to continue to keep his faith regardless of the consequences. And soon it's going to be outlawed for anyone to keep holy the seventh day of the week. Are you going to dare to be a Daniel? To let your faith be known? To worship God regardless of the consequences? It starts today, dear ones. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command. It starts today. I ask that you please bow your heads and kneel as far as you're able to do so for opening prayer. Our dear blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for bringing us to another Sabbath day. Thank you so much for your divine protection and watchful care, the hearing and answering of our prayers according to thy perfect will. Thank you for your blessings that have attended us throughout this past week, known and unknown. Thank you for life. Thank you for opening our understanding and allowing us to see the amount of truth that we do. Father, thank you for thy love. Thank you for your tender regard to each one of us. Thank you for allowing us to have a knowledge of you and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for giving us a work to do in these last days that no one but us can accomplish in your strength. Thank you for allowing us to be alive for such a time as this. For we could have been born at any time throughout history, but you allowed us to be born in these last days. Father, help us to fulfill your will in our lives. Help us to stand for thee, heeding your commands, honoring you, holding forth the banner of present truth, and thank you that there's others that are doing the same. Help us indeed to stand firm and not be shaken off the platform of present truth. Help our anchor to be firmly attached to the everlasting rock, Christ Jesus. And thank you so much for helping us in this. For we desire to give you glory, to manifest our love and loyalty to the God of heaven, while all the rest of the world are rebelling against you. Help us to love your law above gold, above any reward. Help us to cling to our Savior, for in him we move and live and have our being. In him our salvation is assured. And thank you for helping us in this. Father, we give you control. Please come into this room and into each heart. Let us have your peace, your light, and the atmosphere of holiness that surrounds you. And thank you for being here. Dear Savior, we pray that thy presence will be here as well. Dispel the darkness in our hearts and allow us to look up and to see your lovely face and indeed live. And dear Spirit, we ask that thy presence will be here as well to lead and guide us into all truth, to quicken our understanding that we may behold wondrous things out of your word of inspiration. Things that we may never have understood before, even though we have read through the pages and instruction. Please quicken our perceptions of truth and let not a single precious grain pass by and not in some way benefit us. And thank you so much for doing so. Father, we pray that you'll be with all of those who have requested prayer. Be with those whose requests and petitions are silent. You know what they are. You know how to remedy the situation in their lives, and thank you so much for taking their case in your hands according to thy will. Pray, dear Father, that you will continue to heal Sister Joan's eye. Continue to bring healing to those who have requested help. And please reveal to them anything that they may be doing that have brought on their ailments. Forgive them their sins of breaking the 8 laws of health. And please open their understanding to see the areas that they are deviating from your will. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, welcome again, one and all, and happy Sabbath. We're continuing in our study book of Patriarchs and Prophets, and we're in chapter 26, that's entitled From the Red Sea to Sinai. And we left off last time about two-thirds of the way down on page 300 to the paragraph not far distant from where the Israelites were now encamped. And we ended last time in talking about enemies of the faith that they were to be forgiven for their ignorance or lack of knowing, or even for their outright purposeful hatred. And they were to be loved, but their actions as enemies were not to be forgotten. And this was something that God had alerted his people to. Because the Amalekites purposely attacked the weakest of them instead of coming from the frontal area and attacking the strongest of them. And because of their hatred of God and his followers, God said that they were never to be forgotten as being the enemies of his people. So there was to be no leagues, no agreements, no covenants, no union between his people and their enemies, the Amalekites. Now they were kind to the Amalekites because they were not seeking to overthrow their territory. They were not seeking to intrude in their property and land. They were not seeking to attack them in any way. So they were manifesting love for them by treating them kindly, but they were not to forget that they were their enemies and not their friends. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this paragraph. Not far distant from where the Israelites were now encamped was the home of Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. Jethro had heard of the deliverance of the Hebrews, and he now set out to visit them and restore to Moses his wife and 2 sons. Now, if you remember, when Moses returned to Egypt, he had his wife and 2 sons with him when he started out on that journey. But at some point, he felt that it was too dangerous for them to continue to accompany him, and so he sent them back home. And now they have Moses' responsibility to maintain order and discipline among the 2 to 6 million individuals divided into 12 groups. we find it hard to maintain order and discipline among a very small home church. But Moses was to do that among 2 to 6 million individuals. How could one man do that? I mean, all things are possible to him that believeth. But Moses was human. He wasn't God. What he had accomplished up to this point, he could have only done so by resting his care upon the mighty Lord God Michael. But still, Moses was only human. Continuing. Moses was their recognized leader and magistrate, and not only the general interests and duties of the people, but the controversies that arose among them were referred to him. So not only was Moses following God's direction in leading the children of Israel, not only was he maintaining order and discipline among the 2 to 6 million individuals, but also the general interests and duties of the people were on his shoulders, as well as the controversies that arose between the different individuals in that vast group were all referred to him to hear and to make a decision regarding what God's will was in those issues. I mean, think about it. If you have a controversy arising between two individuals among a group of 100, I mean, there's probably more. You probably have 10 or 20 controversies arising among a group of 100 people. But let's say there was just one. In 2 million people, let's say 1 million people, how many groups of 100 would there be? ten thousand, if my math is correct. So let's say 10,000 controversies would arise in any month's time among a million people. Moses was the one to hear these controversies, both sides of these controversies, and then to make a decision based on the will of God. That was part of his responsibilities. Not all. I mean, that would definitely take up all his time throughout that month. But that was just part of his responsibilities. Amazing. Continuing. He had permitted this, for it gave him an opportunity to instruct them, as he said, I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. But Jethro remonstrated against this, saying, this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Thou wilt surely wear away. Now, this was God's work. And that's pretty much what Moses was using as justification for all of these responsibilities resting on his shoulders. I'm able to teach the people the statutes and laws of God. But Jethro, his father-in-law, said, it's too much for you. You're human. It's going to wear you away. You're going to die an early death because you're trying to do too much by yourself. Who was right? Let's continue. Jethro counseled Moses to appoint proper persons as rulers of thousands, and others as rulers of hundreds, and others of tens. They should be able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. These were to judge in all matters of minor consequence, while the most difficult and important cases should still be brought before Moses, who was to be to the people, said Jethro, to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. This counsel was accepted, and it not only brought relief to Moses, but resulted in establishing more perfect order among the people. What law among the eight laws of health was Moses in danger of breaking? Any ideas? Amen. One of them was rest. How could he possibly get the rest that he needed each night with all of these responsibilities on his shoulders? And another law he was breaking was temperance. He was trying to do too much by himself, even though it was the Lord's work. So while it is true that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us, and while it is also true that with God all things are possible, yet it is also true that you're not to take too many responsibilities upon your shoulders at one time, or you will be breaking the law of temperance. And that's something God does not want you to do, even if it's in His work. And some people, especially ministers and pastors, will try and justify their intemperance by saying, but I'm doing this for the Lord. It has to get done. Souls are going to be lost if I don't do this. Individuals aren't going to have the truth brought to them unless I burn the candle at both ends, unless I stay up late at night to answer their questions. But God doesn't look at it that way, dear ones. God recognizes that we are but dust. He recognizes that we are mortal. And He purposely built into our body systems the need to rest each night. And sometimes we need to rest during the day as well, depending on our condition of health, upon our constitution and abilities to endure. Sometimes we need to rest during the days as well. And if we don't get that rest, then it begins to affect our functioning in all of these other important responsibility areas. So God recognizes that we need rest. So then we can't use the excuse that I have to do this for God's cause, because God built into our bodies, our cellular functioning, the need for rest. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions? Please feel free.
How amazing that our Lord Jesus Christ would fast 40 days and 40 nights and also stay up all night when he must have been tired in prayer. He would have been in the dark, so that would have helped him not get that additional, you know, the industrial life of today where they work those shifts all through the night. But what endurance must have been our Lord's because of his sinless life.
Amen. And that's true, brother. That's true. And you know, the spirit of prophecy brings out that when Christ spent all night praying, he was just as refreshed as if he had slept. So Christ wasn't working during those hours. He was praying. And with him being in communication with his Father, and with that connection being so strong, he was able to gain the necessary strength and energy that he needed for the next day. But Christ also took time to rest. He instructed his disciples to dismiss the people and to come apart into the wilderness for a time to rest. But that shows you the not just the power of communing with God, but also the benefit of communing with God. Instead of prayer making you more tired, it would be a refreshing. Now, you know, since God is all powerful, he could have created everything that he did in 7 days in one day. He could have combined the 6 days of labor that he did in creating the earth all in one day. Why didn't he do it in one day? What was the reason why? Any ideas?
Oh, bless your Sabbath, everyone. Good night. Yeah, I was just going to say that because I was saying from all the 8 laws of health, rest is like the most important thing because you have to have mentally rest and physically rest. If you don't have those, everything is comes haywire. So, and I just was going to mention the Sabbath because from all the commandments, he said, remember the Sabbath day. It's a rest for you and for to rest in him. So this is what I was going to say.
The laws of nature that God was going to make in man, Brother Bob, I thought that that was the relationship held with the 6 days of creation and the Sabbath rest.
Amen. Amen. That's a good point. And the idea that God took 6 days when he could have done it all in one shows us the example of temperance. God would not have been tired. He would not have been overworked. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't need sleep. But he took 6 days to teach mankind the necessity of temperance. Don't try to cram into one day what you can do throughout the week. It takes a little longer to get done, that's true. But if you try to cram into one day what would naturally take two, it's not going to be as good, as perfect of an accomplishment as it would be if you took the 2 days or the 3 days to accomplish it. You're going to have to cut corners somewhere because you've placed yourself on a timetable. And thus the work, the end result of the work, is not going to be as good as it could be if you took the 2 days or the 3 days to accomplish it. God is not so much concerned with the amount of work that you're able to accomplish as he is with the quality of the work that you're able to accomplish. A job completed with 100 mistakes because you rushed it is not as good as a job completed with fewer mistakes, but it took longer to accomplish, because the work, the end result of the work, would be better. It's the same with our health. A lot of times we put ourselves on timetables. This has to get done, and you give yourself a certain amount of time to get it done. And if you see that you're not going to meet your goal within the time that you set for yourself, you begin to rush things. You begin to set other things aside so that you can focus on this goal. And having goals are fine, but are they proper goals? Or is it just a goal that you set for yourself without there being any necessity for it except your own desire? So God took 6 days to create the world to teach us the lesson of temperance. And everything that God created on the first and the second and the third day, etc., he took the time to examine it after he had created it. And he saw that it was all good. So Moses had all of these responsibilities on his shoulders. And his father-in-law said, "You've got too much to do. You've got too many responsibilities. Divide the work among men that you can trust, men that fear God, men of truth that hate covetousness and selfishness. And they'll be able to do the minor things that are taking up your time. And just the major things will be brought to you to determine what God's will is. Then you won't be wearing yourself out before your time, but you will be able to maintain your health." That was Jethro's counsel. That was counsel that was accepted. It was approved by God, and it was implemented. And the result of implementing these dispersion of responsibilities resulted in establishing better order among the people. Now, if you think about it, Moses was handling these controversies among 2 to 6 million people by himself. Then there were men selected as rulers over thousands, also other rulers over hundreds, and also other rulers over tens. How many of these other rulers were brought into the work? Well, there's 1,000 rulers over thousands in every million. So we have 2 to 6 million. Let's say 2 million people. There's 2,000 rulers over thousands. Then there's 10,000 rulers over hundreds in every million. So since we're going on 2 million here, there would be 20,000 rulers over hundreds. And how many rulers over tens in a million? 100,000? And we're going on 2 million, so that's 200,000 rulers. So that's 222,000 governors or rulers, leaders, that was brought in to help the Israelite camp, the Israelite people, to settle controversies. Amazing, dear ones. How selfish is mankind? How self-willed and opinionated is mankind?
How the minister's job and opinionated is of no more importance
than the responsibilities of other members of the body. But yet people look up to the minister and say he's got the greatest responsibility of all. But that's not true. The minister holds one area of responsibility. But the home church has many areas of responsibility. And if these other areas of responsibility are not met, are not taken care of by other members, the minister can't do it all, just as Moses can't do it all. If these other areas of importance are not handled by other members of the body, then there's a lack. And it's going to reveal itself in that church. There will not be the order and the discipline that there needs to be. People will be untrained. They will remain ignorant of what God would have them do. So we need to get away from the idea that the minister is to handle it all. That's not true. Just as Moses was not to handle it all. And if we want greater order and greater discipline among our home churches, then there must be a dispersion of responsibility among the members. And each member must then maintain faithfulness in their responsibility. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, Derwent? Please feel free.
Oh, happy Sabbath, everyone. Elder Robert, in light of what you've just said, how do we let the one in charge know, the leader, that we are, our services are available, and how do we take on some of those responsibilities? Could you let us know that? Thank you.
I'm sorry, sister. There was a blackout on my end. Could you repeat your question? Thank you.
Thank you. I'll probably be able to put it better now I thought about it. I was just saying, in light of what you've just said about the minister and the pastor, whoever's in charge, having to share the responsibilities, how do the congregation members let him know that they are available for service, that they are prepared to share these responsibilities? Could you let us know that, please? Thank you.
Well, that's a good question. What I would suggest is that a announcement goes out to all the people that any who would like to join the church to please contact the one in charge, and then all of those members would be investigated, and if they're suitable to join the church, then they would become members. And once they become members, then it would be important to recognize the different talents that God had blessed them with, and then to put those talents to work in the church. So instead of the minister or the leader dictating what each member would do within the church, it would be the Holy Spirit, through the gifts and the talents that they've been blessed with, decide what particular office in the home church that they would fill. So that would be one way to go about it. And, you know, it's important to understand that each member of the church has a duty and responsibility to see that the church they're a part of flourishes and prospers. And that means their interests are going to be centered in that particular church for the benefit of all, not just the members, but the benefit of anyone who visits. And a lot of times, individuals join a church, but then they just sit back and let everyone else do the work. Or perhaps they don't know what to do. And so that's where instruction comes in. But anyway, it's something that we all need to come up in, and we all need to understand. And then we all need to examine ourselves to see what blessings God has given us as far as talents and gifts. And then how can we use these gifts for God's glory and the edification of His people? And that's where they then come into the home church. You know, God hasn't blessed us with talents by mistake. They're given to us for a reason, to minister to others, to benefit others, and to give glory to God. And what better way to do that than within a fellowship of one another?
Just to comment on that, how do we blend in? I used to be very bashful and shy, and I couldn't say a word in front of someone that wasn't in my family. And I was reading an article about how you shouldn't say no, how when you're looking at yourself and you're seeing what you consider defects, such as shyness and the inability to speak up for God and all of that. And the article said you shouldn't say no because it may be the Holy Spirit prompting you to take a part in it with the wisdom that you have been given. And so they said, try it. Don't say no. Just try it, and the Spirit will give you the words and the ability, but you must be willing. I had a lady ask me if I would play the piano for the beginners department in Sabbath school. And I said, well, I don't read music. And she said, but you play the piano, don't you? And I said, yes. She said, you know all the songs, don't you? Yes. Well, would you be willing to play one Sabbath out of the month? I'll be sure that you are never embarrassed. I'll back you up. And so I did. And a little bit later, this lady came to me and said, would you be willing to tell the missionary story once a month? And I thought, oh, my goodness. No, I don't know about that. Same thing. I'll back you up. If you falter, if you find you can't do it, I'll be standing right there beside you, and I will take over. And that's what she did. And I know it was God leading me to say yes. And as I exercised that yes muscle, he led me into better and better activities for him. And I praise his name for that. Just be willing and let the Spirit help you.
Amen. Amen. And you know, the talents came from God, and the ability to perform those extra responsibilities also came from God. But you wouldn't have had those talents necessary to perform those responsibilities if you were unwilling to use them. And being able to stand before people, especially young children, and teach them about Christ on their level of understanding is a tremendous gift. Not everyone has it. But if you were unwilling to move forward in faith, God would not have blessed you with those abilities. But they were still part of you. They were just hidden, unrecognized. Now, there's a passage in the Spirit of Prophecy that where Sister White brings out the fact that God creates us with different talents and gifts, but many of them are hidden and unrecognized. And so it's not the fact that God gives us these extra talents miraculously, but that they're latent or hidden within us. And they're just brought out into the open through God's blessings and mercy. But they're to be utilized for God's glory because He's the one that blessed us with them. They weren't given us genetically. They weren't passed down from, you know, father and mother to their children. It was something that God blessed the children with. For instance, my daughter is an amazing artist. She didn't get it from me. She didn't get it from Michelle. It was a gift of God to her. It was a gift to use to His glory. But it was something that God gave her at birth. The same with us all. We each have different talents. Those who have 10 talents began with one. but all 10 were there. A gift from God. They were just not recognized until the need came. So, these judges had that gift of being able to rightly discern truth from error, right from wrong. And now, these talents were put to work among the congregation, and it resulted in greater order, discipline, and peace, contentment among the entire camp of Israel. Moses wasn't doing everything. The responsibility that rested on his shoulders was divided. But can you imagine how much extra strength and grace God gave to Moses to perform these responsibilities before the work was divided? It needed 222,000 men to take over part of the responsibilities that was on Moses' shoulders in the beginning. Grace is an amazing thing, dear ones. And that grace, that unmerited favor, is open to each one of us. All you have to do is be willing to use whatever talents you have to God's glory. And in faithfully using the one, you'll find out that you have more than one. God will bring it to your attention. It will no longer be hidden underneath, but it will be recognized. And as you put that second talent to use for God's glory, then pretty soon you'll recognize that you have other talents. And now you're able to do twice as much for God's glory as you were in the beginning. Just as Sister Joan brought out the fact that at first she was only playing the piano once a month. But then she was also able to read the mission report. And then finally she was able to lead out in cradle work, teaching little children on their level about the importance of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Praise God indeed.
Here's a little chorus I just came upon that just fits what we've been talking about. Only to be what He wants me to be, every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone, every step of this pilgrim way, just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what His word commands. Only to be what He wants me to be, every moment of every day. I hadn't heard that chorus in a long time, but it just fits perfectly.
Amen, and thank you, sister. And there's a comment in the room that says, we all have been given different talents, gifts, abilities. God works in different ways through each of us, and we all serve Him faithfully as we use our gifts to glorify Him. Amen. And also use our gifts to benefit and minister to one another. Amen. Now, there was a question put in the room. Let me see. It says, Brother Bob, can you please explain about the stand of the Seventh-day Adventist organization regarding the division, union, and mission in conjunction with the 1,110 rulers, and compare this to gospel order or New Testament order. And that's a really good question. I know that in the beginning, the Adventist Church followed this counsel of Jethro to Moses and divided up the great work that God had given to the Adventist people to perform among this same division of authority. But the problem ended up coming into the Adventist organization with who has the final authority. And they centered that final authority in what was called the General Conference. And the General Conference originally was a gathering of representatives from all the Adventist churches around the world, where they would come into one place and hear the issues that were affecting the church and then make a decision on those issues. And thus, if there was 1,000 representatives, then the decision would be among the majority of those 1,000. And that allowed the Holy Spirit to work upon the minds of all of these 1,000 individuals to decide the proper way to handle those issues. And that organization, that type of organization, was based on a congregational type of system, because it wasn't just a select few individuals making the decision affecting the church, but it was the churches themselves, through their representatives, that was making the decisions that affected the churches. And God approved that particular form of congregational organization. But what the Adventist Church decided to do was to elect a General Conference Association to handle the affairs of the church in between the General Conference sessions. And any major issues, they would refer to the General Conference session, but the minor issues, they would take care of themselves. And that appeared very innocent in the beginning, but the devil was able to utilize that General Conference Association in a way that it became more and more in control of the church. And less was the General Conference sessions in control of the church. And so now we have a situation in the Adventist Church where it's no longer a congregational setup, it is now a hierarchical setup, where the General Conference Association is legally the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So now, even though they have General Conference sessions where representatives from Adventist churches come in and hear different issues affecting the church and make decisions and so on, it's much more of a show, because it's the General Conference Association that is actually in control of the church. And what the General Conference Association decided to do was to elect a president over the association who would have the final authority. Well, it's exactly like Catholicism. There is a pope who has authority over the Catholic Church. And so we see that the Adventist Church is just another image of the beast. And because it operates under a hierarchy, then God is calling his people to forsake that man-controlled bondage and escape to Jesus Christ and be free indeed. But the issue of dividing authority among the church members is endorsed by God. And the issue of having several representatives from the home churches, not several, but I mean, you can have more than one representative from a home church, but having representatives from all the home churches in the present truth coming together and discussing issues that affect those churches is also endorsed by God. But it's on a congregational basis, not a hierarchical basis. So one man is not to do it all. And we see that example here with Moses dividing his responsibilities among as many people as was needed to maintain order and discipline among the congregation. May God help us to do that in this home church and in all other home churches established on present truth around the world, is my prayer. Some people are against organization altogether. Some people are against order and discipline altogether. But here we see that God endorses order and discipline and organization among his people. Are there any thoughts, any other comments or questions, dear ones? Any testimonies? Any other songs that you'd like to sing? Please feel free.
Yes, I do have a song, but I was thinking about my dear sister. Well, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift come from above. And I know Sister White was one of them, and she had a talent, and I'm so happy that she was faithful enough to write all these things for us today. And I know when we went and visit Battle Creek, Michigan, and they was telling us how the last song that she had sung before she closed her eyes, she sung this song, and this is the song that she sung. Is sweet by and by. I was like, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Father was over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore. We shall sing on the beautiful shore. The melodious song of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore to a bountiful Father above. We will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love. And the blessing that hallow our days in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on the beautiful shore in the sweet by and by.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. That was lovely, sister. And I just want to share with you all something that happened to me a couple of days ago. It's not new to any of us, and it's not world-shattering, but it just sort of revisited me. It was just before our Bible study, and we always sing a hymn, at least James always does. I join in if I'm capable, if my voice isn't too gravelly. I join in as best I can. And this day, the Lord blessed me, and I was able to sing, and I chose the hymn. And it was, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And you remember, I'm sure, the first verse. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And it just hit me, bam. I've known it, like, since forever, probably since I was, you know, very young. And I always believed in it and lived by it. But it just hit me. What a privilege. It's not a right or a God-given right. It's such a privilege that we can dump everything on Him, if I can put it so boldly as that. We can take everything, all the rubbish that's bothering us, you know, weighing us down, making us feel miserable. As many of you will know, I have trouble with my children. My children in their 50s have a problem with me, and I've never really known why, except I think it's Satan meddling. I truly believe that. And I, every morning I wake up feeling a bit sad, and I've shared that with you before as well. And if I couldn't call on the Lord immediately to bring me out of this and get me through the day, I don't know how I would manage. I mean, I don't think I would survive. That sounds a bit dramatic, but truly, without that security and the knowledge that no matter how down I feel, share it with the Lord, I've shared it with hundreds of times, I'll be okay and I'll get through the day. And it's true, every day. And I mean, as I said, we all know that, but it hit me again, like what do we call the light bulb moment or something, just bam. And I shared this with Brother James. I was practically reeling from the new realization. What a privilege it is. What a privilege. And I think we ought to think on that. It's not a duty or something, but it's a real privilege to be able to offload our stuff onto the Lord, discuss it with Him, mm-hmm. and He will send back blessings and comfort and lift you up to get through the day.
Amen.
I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you for listening.
Amen. And what a blessing and comfort it is to know that we can unburden ourselves to the Lord and let our burden bearer carry those loads. And we can rest in His love. What a comfort and relief that is.
Bless the Sabbath, everyone. I just want to say I can completely relate, you know, because after a day of, you know, today working and doing all kinds of things there in the week, laundry and cleaning, and can't wait for Sabbath to come in. And, you know, I worked today and then came home and I was just out, you know. I just came home and I was just sore and tired. I was just out. And then I woke up and at first I was like, oh my gosh, what time is it? I have to get in there. I need to get in there. I hope now they're not all gone yet. And just to see you guys in here and, you know, even just to catch a little bit, it's like, I don't even know how to put it. It's like it set your spirit at ease, you know? I love the Sabbath. I could completely understand you. So completely.
Sabbath blessings, brother and sisters. you know, I've been here the past couple of Sabbaths, and everyone knows that I'm relatively new. And just like the study said that everything is a conjoined effort, especially when you have a home church. And I believe that it is like the body parts. One hand washes the other and everybody washes the face together, metaphorically speaking. But in the meantime, just to let everybody know, because you don't know me very well, I'm retired now, but I'm a natural health consultant by trade. I've done that for many years. I also have cooked and used raw foods. I do raw food recipes, vegan and vegetarian recipes, which if anybody's interested, you could always contact me. I noticed that up on the site, we don't have a facility for those particular items, and I thought that might be a cool thing to have. So if anybody has any need of health tips or natural health tips, you know, you could always ask me. And as far as natural recipes, once again, I'm in the midst of writing a book, and praise the Lord, here's another talent that he's provided me with. It's Eating and Living God's Way, and it's primarily based on a 365-day, not numerically, just a day. It's the word of the day, because without that, we have nothing. And it's a natural health tip and an organic recipe, whether it's raw, whether it would be vegan or vegetarian. So if anybody's interested, just let me know. And I don't know if you share emails on this site or not, but I'm not worried about it either way. But if anybody's interested in, my email is sabbathkeeper328, like March 28th, at gmail.com. Any questions, if you have a need for a natural recipe, if you have a question on a health tip that is actually a natural health tip, just give me a holler, even if it has to do with your little furry friends. Amen. Well, Sabbath blessings and hugs and love to all.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just came from North Carolina, and I went there to visit a couple of, you know, brothers and sisters for a long time ago, and I was so interested in learning the health message. I mean, all organically. And Sister Michelle and I was talking about it, and I really wanted to know. So now, that is so, praise the Lord, now that we have someone in our midst to teach us how to do certain things, and I mean naturally, like everything. So that is something, and it's true. In the last days, I think I read it in the medical missionary book, or in it tells her that in the last day, this is going to be our only work, missionary work, and that's dealing with healing the sick with natural remedies, and this is our way to go, and I praise God for that. Thank you.
You know, I keep saying to myself, you sound like a Christian sister of mine, that, you know, we talk a lot, and she's a part of the Christian family in our Carolina that my mother just mentioned. I kept saying, oh my goodness, you sound just like her. But, oh, wow, that is like so cool. Praise God. Yes, yes, yes. So cool.
Hi everyone. I ended up finding the song. Let me sing it for you guys tonight. And Sister Lucy, it is also one of my favorite songs as well. Starts out. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not care. Everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen. Thank you, Sister Lucy, for bringing that song to my mind. And
there was, are there anything else that you'd like to share? Any other songs, testimonies, any other questions or comments? Please feel free.
I would share a scripture song. It is called Shall Our Cheeks Be Dry? Dear Christ, or sinners we, and shall our cheeks be dry? Let looks of penitence shall be brought forth from every eye. The Son of God in tears, the wandering angels see, be thou astonished, O my soul, ye shed those tears for thee. He wept that we might weep. Each sin demands a tear. In heaven alone, no sin is found, and there's no weeping there. Black looks of penitent shall creep, brings forth from every eye.
Hi, everyone. I want to praise the Lord, and I have one other song to sing. This is also for everybody in the room, as well as Sister Sheila. This is a song that my dad knows. My whole family knows it as well. It is a scripture song. And it goes like this. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. Psalm 61, 1, 2, and 3. And the strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I.
Amen, and thank you. Indeed, Christ our rock. In him we trust. Well, a hymn came to mind in a little while. And for those that would like to take a verse that know this hymn, please go ahead and put your bubble up. I'll go ahead and start. Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. We will do the work that our hands may find to do. In a little while we're going home. And the grace of God will our daily strength renew. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
We will smooth the path for some weary wayward feet. In a little while we're going home. And may loving hearts spread around and influence sweep. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam.
We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
Tears arrest me young, yes, relief from every care. In a little while we're going home. No tears shall fall in the seeding right and fear. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows full moon. We shall meet alas when the stormy winds are in a little while we're going home. Amen.
Amen, amen. And everybody hit the high notes. Praise the Lord. Oh, next time hopefully I'll start it a little bit lower. But praise the Lord indeed. Well, dear ones, it's been a joy to be fellowshipping with you all. I pray that God will continue to lead and guide you, continue to work in your lives, bringing you higher up that straight and narrow path. And may He continue to work within you and reveal to you the gifts and the talents that He has blessed you with for His glory and for the ministering one to another. I'd like to ask you to please bow your heads and your knees for closing prayer. Our dear, precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your wisdom and merciful kindness and tender-heartedness to each one of us, as unworthy as we are. Thank you, Father, for working within us a transformation and bringing us away from doing our own will to doing your will. Continue to work within us, Father. And thank you so very much for not remaining on your throne until we've made it all the way to your feet, but for seeing us a long way off and running to meet us so that we could come together in union with thee that much quicker. Thank you for your love and compassion for us. And I pray, Father, you will fill our hearts with your love and compassion so that we may love you as we should in return, and that we may love one another as our fellow brothers and sisters in this precious faith. Please be with us now as we part and bring us back together again in just a few hours. And indeed, increase our faith in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, dear ones, may God bless, and I'd like to leave you all with this scripture song. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, hast all things created. Thou hast created all things. And for thy plighted, thou art worthy, O Lord. Revelation 4:11.